Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible to you. And with you, all things are possible. And Lord, you said that if we would believe, nothing would be impossible. Thank you for eyes to see this morning, ears to hear, and thank you for doing a work even in our hearts, Lord. Thank you that this is a great summer already of moving forward. And help us, Lord, today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak to us, talk to us, and help us make the word come so alive to us this morning that the change can truly come and we can take steps. And Lord, thank you for the things that you have entrusted us to do, the steps to take and the changes to make, that we'd be willing, obedient. Thank you, Lord. We do have a willing and obedient heart today to take those steps. And thank you, Lord, that you always do what you do, that we welcome you to do in our lives what only you can do, the God of power and love and wonderful might. And you're a faithful God and a good God. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to give you three steps to receive and to be able to take in the blessing of God. These are steps because what happened during the camp meeting, I was looking at people's faces, and I'm looking at the people that are there, and awesome people. But then with some, you see, hey, they are really, really receiving. And then others, they feel like they're wonderful people, but they're not. For whatever reason, they don't seem to have that excitement, or they don't seem to have that heart that they come to receive. I was praying, and Lord, I want to see people blessed. So let's go into them. The number one thing has to do with the condition of your heart. Number one thing is the condition of your heart. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you." So God's called us to walk in His love. And then 1 John continues, "For the world offers only craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our own achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." So let's look at the things that he's talking about there, what the Lord has given to us, what John's writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Talk about selfish ambitions, lusts, and wants. Desires, things. It's very difficult to help people who are already focused on something else. I'm sure you've even seen that with little children. If they're thinking about something else, it's very hard to teach them a language skills or math because they're thinking about something else. You got to get them focused first. So the scripture here shows us that, you know, when we turn our hearts from those things to our Heavenly Father, we lay these things down. And then also focusing on the things we see with our eyes and living for the things that we can see with our physical eyes, different things around us that can cause us to lose our focus. Talking about, in New Living Translation, they're craving for everything we see. And then finally, arrogance and an inflated view of self. So these are the things of the heart. These are the things of the heart, the lust. Nobody can really see. I mean, there can be outside fruit that eventually shows up because of these things. But these are things of the heart that you got to watch out for. What is the condition of your heart? That it's not selfish ambitions, lusts, or wants, or focusing on the things that we can see, or being arrogant or viewing ourselves as higher than we should. But we have a heart's hunger towards the Lord. And that's something that you can develop. This morning you can decide, I want to have a heart of hunger towards God. And I have a passion for God's kingdom. I want to see the things of heaven move forward through me, and then I'm content. Bible speaks of contentment with godliness, and then also meekness, that you have a humility of heart. These are things of the heart. God says in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, but I have this complaint against you. This is coming to a church that's seemingly doing everything well. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you're falling. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. These things have to do with the heart. And then 1 John 2:17 continues, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. We have a good God. He's got a good plan. He's a faithful, loving God, and he's a powerful God. And the devil is a deceiver and a liar. So when you have a heart's condition, heart's hunger towards the things of heaven, he's not gonna allow you to miss anything. He'll bless you with everything when your heart is towards him. So number one thing, the steps to take is the condition of your heart. Is it a heart of hunger? And you can make a choice today in your heart. Your choices mean more than you think. You can make a choice today. I'm done with this running after the things type of life. I'm making myself stop and turn. I'm going to turn towards God. I want to see the things of heaven, and I want to make sure I don't view myself higher than I should. I honor others. I compete in honoring others, and I want to bless others, and I have a passion for God's purposes and the things. I'm not going to be overly critical. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not controlled by those things. Isn't that good? And then you just turn towards, okay, what can I do? Don't get frustrated about the things you can't change. You're not called to change everybody else, but you can change and change your own direction, and that's going to also influence others as you get hungry for the Lord. Right? Are you with me? I think you are. And that's great. So number one thing is the condition of your heart. It's very difficult to minister to people who are not hungry for God, who are not passionate. They don't have that hunger because they want to know Jesus more. I remember what I wrote in my Bible school application. We went to Bible school 20 years ago, comes this August. So almost 20 years ago, we started Bible school. And in my Bible school application, I knew I just want to know Jesus more. That's what I do. And that's what I want to learn still today. Because more I learn, less I know that I don't know. More I learn, less more I know how little I know. Anyways, so number one thing is the condition of your heart. And your choices have so much to do with it. So make the right choices and decide, I'm going to go after the Lord. If you truly desire, if you go after him, you will find him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, a knock and it will be opened to you. You can ask, you can knock, you can go after the Lord and really want to find him and honor him with your heart. So number one thing is condition of your heart. The second thing is deep understanding of the times we are living in. These are the end times. When you understand that the time is truly running out, you don't treat every day so casually. I'm not talking about being anxious or worried, but I'm talking about there's a fear of God in you that is greater than any concern you can have of people's opinions and other things. So you understand that these are the end times. Let me read to you a few verses from 1 Thessalonians to give you a better scope of what he's talking about and what the Lord wants to give to us. I'm going to read a little extra verses here, but just pay attention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy, So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passions like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers. Throughout the Macedonia, even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. 10 people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. And then, in this context, we go to verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with the commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. What's awesome about this is Paul's putting himself right in the middle of this season, because the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar is going to be the rapture of the church. This is the time of the church. This is the time of grace. This is the time of the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night. You don't know when the thief comes. The only way you're going to be able to be prepared is that you will have to stay ready at all times. And he's saying that comfort, encourage one another with these words. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15, Bible says, with all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. So these things are to strengthen us. And again, Revelation 1 and 3, it says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So when we understand the times that we're living in, Paul lived, although he lived almost 2,000 years ago when he was writing these things, he lived with the imminent return of the Lord in mind because of the times we're living in. And we're living in the end of the end times. These are the final times. And when we understand it, we don't come casually to the things of heaven. And like I said, I'm not talking about being anxious, worried. The Lord takes all that away. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He calls those who are weary to come to him and receive his rest. But there's an urgency and a desire and a passion in your heart that even when you're on vacation, you're getting physical rest, which is important. Change of scenery, it's important for your mind, because you need a change of view sometimes to be able to reset your thoughts and your views and everything. And then that gives you rest. You're going to be able to be energized after that. But even in the time of your vacation, there's a stirring. It goes, these are spiritual things, that there's an urgency in your spirit, that the time is coming to an end. I'm talking about the conclusion of all things. So you don't treat your own life, your decisions, your moments in the presence of the Lord casually, but you treat it with an honor towards God. So we've covered two things so far. Number one, the condition of your heart. And secondly, recognizing and discerning the times that we're living in. Those two things already will put you in a place to receive from God. Even in your personal prayer time, in your personal devotional time and study, and then when you come together with your brothers and sisters. Because the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. So even when you do come together, you have that recognition of the time. So number two is to understand the times that we are living in. This is not 1980s. Some of you weren't even alive then. This is not even the 1990s. This is not the early 2000s. We are in a final hour. We're getting ready to see the moments when sun is going to set for the final time. And when it's night, there will be no time to work. So when we understand the times we're living in, so we want to have, we have a desire to also be stirred up by what 2 Thessalonians 2 is talking about, what 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about the end times, that is going to bring us comfort. It brings us peace. It brings us clarity. It clears up so many things. It gives us strength. It gives us passion to pursue what God has for us. And when we do come together, it puts us in a place that I've come to receive from heaven, because I know that God has big things for us in this final hour. And thirdly, and finally, clear vision. Third and final thing for you this morning is clear vision. Proverbs 29 and 18, Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You are made, I'm made, we are made to run with a vision. And you may not realize it, but you are going to run with some kind of a vision. It may be something that is given to you. It may be something that you did not even sign up for. And unless if there's a change and you're in that situation, you're going to reach the end of your life, and it's going to be a shock to you whose vision you actually ran with. You need a vision from heaven that is going to guide your feet, that's going to keep you a clarity of mind, that's going to keep you aligned to the right direction. Because in the end, it's all about people. It's first your heart, your family, and then it's about other people that God's going to allow you to reach, because we can't take anything else with us from this life but people. So it's so vital that you have a vision and you're running with it. Many people, unaware, are actually carrying out the enemy's vision. And if they would be presented with that vision in writing, they would disagree and they would oppose it. But because of the subtlety and the deceitfulness of the enemy, people don't even realize they're carrying out the enemy's plan and they're opposing the plans of heaven, because they've yielded themselves as instruments of something that is not heavenly. It's so important that you surrender yourself. And if you don't, vision of heaven. And if you don't say, well, pastor, I don't have a vision. I don't have what you're talking about. You can adopt our vision. Join our vision. You watch from another nation. Find a church that's full of the fire of God. If you want, you can ask us, leave us a comment, leave us a city, leave us a nation. We can suggest something to you if we know somebody there. I can't suggest to you places that I don't know about. But I know there are so many churches that are on fire for God. And you can join in and say, I want to join this vision. You need clarity of vision so you can run. Even when you're running, you can read the vision. And if you're here in Finland, join us. Make our vision your vision. That's what I did for 10 years. Me and my wife, we joined when we went to Bible school. We made the vision of the house our vision. And I woke up every morning and I gave everything that I got to advance that vision. God rewards faithfulness when you make His things your a priority. Many people are just arrogant and they're not able to do anything, but they're not willing to give themselves up to a vision that would be powerful and they would be able to support it. But they feel like they just want to do things on their own. You were made to run with the vision. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. It says, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, and east, and west. I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. This goes further than just talking about what he could physically see, because the land was much greater than what he could physically see. For 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. And when you have that clarity of vision, you have a clear vision and you have hunger in your heart. So let's summarize what I shared with you today. If you've joined with me a little later, you can do a little you can check the whole thing later. But number one thing is the condition of your heart, the hunger towards God and desire, and you are seeking after. Urgency in your spirit about the things of heaven. And thirdly and finally, clear vision from heaven that you are moving forward with. And this bringing it back to the last week of meetings. I'm looking at people's eyes. I see people. Some are pressing in. And I know that their hearts are pure, their hearts are soft towards God. They know that the time is running out. And thirdly, they have a vision that they are carrying. And when you come with these three things to a power from heaven. So you know you have big things from the Lord for you to do, and you're not going to be able to do it without the plan of heaven, without God's help, without the help of the Lord. You're not going to be able to do it. And when you have these different things together, you come into the presence of the Lord hungry. You come into the presence of the Lord thirsty. You're coming ready to receive. You're coming to get what God has for you. You're going to leave changed. Condition of your heart, knowing the times, and clear vision. Father, thank you for everybody who joined me today. And Lord, I ask you that you bless them. Bless each one. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power, Lord, that the changes that need to be made, they can be made by your grace in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that we can have a clarity of understanding, that even this summer, by your word, you can speak to your people as they search the scriptures and they desire to study the end times and your declaration for these final hours, that we'll have understanding of the times we're living in. The clarity of vision, to run with the vision, to join with the vision from heaven, so that you will use our hands, our feet, our mind, our earthly vessels for your power to touch many. And Lord, we are dependent on you in Jesus' name. But the truth is, you're on the winner's side.
Mutta totuus on se, että sinä olet voittajan
greater
puolella.
One lives on the inside.
Suurempi on hän, joka asuu sinussa.